Colossians 1 and verse 23. Colossians 1 and verse 23 is where we'll begin our lesson this evening. Colossians 1 and verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Paul is writing the epistle to the Colossians to combat the false teaching of Gnosticism. This teaching denied the humanity of Christ. As a result, the gospel was being changed to fit this false doctrine. Paul exhorts the Christians to continue in the faith, to be grounded and settled, to not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. In this lesson, we're going to look at the necessity for us to not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. We should not be moved away because, number one, God is immovable. He does not change. The Lord Jesus is immovable. The gospel is immovable. It doesn't change. It is from day to day, year to year, month to month, decade to decade, century to century, the same. Does not change. The kingdom is immovable. Same entrance, same Lord, same everything. The souls of men depend upon our being unmovable. Let us not be moved. Because we have an unmovable God. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. As our God closes his Old Testament revelation for a period of 400 years before we hear from him again, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 tells us a very important truth. Malachi writes the words of God, "For I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." I change not. It was the same God that spoke to Moses from the tabernacle. The same God that spoke to Abraham, "Get thee out of thy father's house." It was the same God that told Noah, "I want you to build an ark." The same God that spoke to Seth. The same God that spoke to Adam in the garden. The same God who did not change his mind, did not change his purposes, always kept his promises. The same, the one and the same God. I am the Lord. I change not. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 9. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 9. It was the same God that spoke to Moses back in the wilderness wanderings, where he was trying to teach his people the ways of God, the mind of God, the thoughts of God. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? We have an unmovable God. Once he speaks something into being, it is truth. Remains truth, always is truth. We can count on it. Psalm 102, verse 25. 500 years after Moses, the psalmist, David, and others began to speak truth from the city of Jerusalem. Psalm 102 and verse 25. "Of old hast thou laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them. They shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." Don't we count on this particular aspect of God's character, that he doesn't change? When we hear the gospel, we go to the book of God, and we see what he requires in order to be saved. in the period of our lifetime, those facts haven't changed. It's still the same from age to age. What God tells us to do, that's what we ought to do. His character remains the same. It's always wrong to lie, because in the character of God, whatever He says is truth. He cannot lie. We have an unchangeable God, and so we must not be moved as well. What we learn from the character of God, we take it into ourselves and put it on our mind. It changes us. It makes us better people. It makes us more godlike when we learn a thing from God and put it into our own character. Those things don't change. God will not be moved. We have an unmovable God, and we have an unmovable Lord. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. We don't know a lot about the writing of the book of Hebrews. There's a lot of ancient conjecture. The earliest commentators on that seem to all agree that the Apostle Paul wrote it. And others say, later on in the second century, that it was written by Barnabas or perhaps some others. But we look at the book of Hebrews and we realize that it was written during a time when there were actually people on this earth that knew Jesus, that soaked in His presence, that lived under His teaching. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 8 and 9 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. It was a constant attack, just as it is today. Something new coming. You need to follow this, because this is wise. These wise people, these educated people, these PhDs, these masters of divinity are telling us that this is truth now. But Jesus Christ doesn't change. If He doesn't change, His teachings don't change. And so you hear some new thing, you say, well, I like that better. And you go along with it, but Jesus doesn't change. We have an unmovable Lord. Revelation 1, verse 8. See if it sounds like you can find some play in Jesus. As you, I remember in my old grandpa's truck, you could get probably 4 inches of play out of the steering wheel. It was worn out, and he knew it, and he wouldn't get it fixed because it cost too much money. He would always kind of joke, but not really, about being an old Scotsman. He just wouldn't part with the dollar to get that play taken out of that steering wheel. But that play is what I'm talking about. Do we look at the Scriptures and ask for, is there a little play in the Gospel? A little here or there? Some room that we can insert something for ourselves? Is there any change that we can make? Revelation 1, verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus speaking that He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He was there at the beginning. He will be there at the end. Every step in between, He is there, which was, or which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. He is the one that dictates what truth is, because truth is whatever comes out of His mouth. That's the nature of truth. If God speaks it, it becomes reality. There is no play in between. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Speaking of Jesus, but this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus had already ascended into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This was told to the crowd that day by Peter. And he had begun his intercessory work. Now, if he doesn't change, then what happened on the day of Pentecost must be the same thing that happens today in order for people to go to heaven. That's, people have to go through Jesus. Go through him. The one who told us how to get to heaven. The one who told us how to be righteous. The one who told us how to have our sins forgiven. He's the same. He sat on the right hand of the throne of God then. He sits there now. He was the high priest then. He is the high priest now. And he does not change. Wherefore, he is also able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. We have an unmovable Lord, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. That gospel that we're talking about, that word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, it also is unchangeable. By its very nature, because it was spoken by God, it cannot change. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, another false doctrine that was going, was roaring through the church of that day, this Judaizing doctrine, the Gnostics wanted to change things to paganism. The Jews that had become Christians, many of them wanted to insert the law of Moses into the gospel. But Paul says no to both. All the apostles agree. No, there is one gospel. There is one way to God. In Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that has called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Those that would change the gospel of Christ turn themselves and the gospel that they preach into anathema. That's the Greek word there. And sometimes it's transliterated in your modern text because the word accursed simply does not approximate the actual meaning of it or so far that it goes. What I mean is this. Someone can be accursed and just be accursed here on this earth, and that's as far as it goes. We can be accursed. We can be someone that no one wants to be around because of what we've done in our past. But when we get to the throne of God, God can proclaim us under the blood of Christ, and that be it. Go on to heaven because we've obeyed. Kind of like the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was certainly one who was accursed here on this earth, but in Abraham's bosom he was blessed. Well, not so with this word anathema. We have become anathema. We have become, and this is where the word damned is used. When we become biblically damned, we're accursed for all time. Well, it's kind of hard to use the word time for eternity, but never-ending unblessing is one way to put it, I suppose. You're accursed for all time, and it's never to be changed. That's what that word is talking about. When we change the gospel, we change it into something that is displeasing to God, that is anathema to God, that is, what's another word? When you set before your child, they're expecting ice cream, and you put asparagus there, what's that word? Abomination. That's what it is. Abomination. That's what it becomes. Something you turn your nose up to. What's the child going to do with a bowl full of asparagus? I can see it now flying through the air and splattering across the wall. Try that. Try that with me. It's probably... That's the idea. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. We have an unmovable gospel. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 19 and 20. You'd expect some strong words to the brethren there at Corinth because They had started to let the philosophies of the world seep into the church. They had begun teaching them. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 19 and 20. As the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians tries to get them back, tries to comfort them in this second epistle, because they had taken too much upon themselves. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 19 and 20. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God are in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Not yea and nay. What does that mean? It is the promises of God. There is no room for them not to be the promises of God. When he tells us in that second passage, verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, that they are proceeding, that they are ongoing, that they are still true, they will never not be true, that's what he's talking about. And in him, amen. You know that word, amen. It's a popular word. Even in the 1960s, there was a movie, The Lilies of the Field, with that word was featured in a song. Very popular one, if I understand it right. Amen. What do we mean when we say amen? You see it many times in the New Testament, especially in the book of John. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, time and time again, verily, verily. Amen, amen is the Greek New Testament, the way it puts it. Amen, amen. Of course, that's a transliteration from the Hebrew Old Testament. Amen is a Hebrew word brought into the Greek. What does it mean? Well, King James translators said, verily, verily, or truly, truly. And any time you double something up in the New Testament, or even in the whole of the Bible, it's something that is amplified. It's deeper and richer than if you just say it one time. And so, amen. Truly. And other times it's put there so you'll understand you agree with that particular thing. Let it be so is one interpretation of that particular word. Jesus Christ is amen. That is, you can take it to the bank. It's bankable. You can trust it. It will never fail you because he's not going to change. You have money in the bank. It's time for you to retire, and you're counting on what you have in that investment account. You go to the bank, and they said, oh, we have some new rules. You have about a half as much as you had before. You're going to get upset, aren't you? You trusted it. You counted on it to be there. But someone messed it up. That's as exactly opposite of Jesus as you can get. Jesus is always reliable. His word is always true. And his gospel never, never, never changes. We may want it to, because we don't want to comply with it, but it doesn't. It's always the same. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. I don't know how much more intensely it can be put than this. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You're going to be there. It's always going to be. You know that passage that you wish wasn't there? For some, it's the passages that include doctrines about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. They're still going to be there tomorrow. God is not going to edit them out. Not like the Book of Mormon. If you've ever seen the Book of Mormon in its first or second edition, and you compared it to what you have today, you'll find that it's highly edited. You go back to that original one, and you'll find out that Joseph Smith's grammar wasn't very good. And over the years, they have changed it so much, changed facts about it. But that's not the Word of God. When you have the Word of God in front of you, and you have people looking over the shoulders of the translators, some things cannot be changed, else the people will not accept it. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The providence of God has proved over and over again ability to keep the word of God as it was spoken in the first century. We have an unmovable kingdom. And Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. The book of Daniel includes so many powerful things, so many scenes into the future, and it's such fascinating history. You go to the book of Daniel and you see glorious things. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. An unmovable, an unbreakable kingdom. Now when we understand what the context of Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44 is, we'll understand that it began during the time of the Roman Empire, in the days of the kingdoms of the Herods. We'll understand that it began in the first century, that on the day of Pentecost, AD 30 or 33, whatever time you stamp on the day of Pentecost, that the church began. It began with a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. It began with words spoken by apostles, and you can see that those words came from God because of two reasons. One, there were tongues of fire on the heads of these men, and the other is that they spoke in tongues that they had never learned. They'd never had opportunity to learn. They spoke the words of God. The next time these words were spoken, Peter and John looked upon a man and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, rise and walk." And the man jumped up and went into the temple and praised God. These signs followed these things that they were speaking. And on it went with the mighty works and wonders that were done by people who were preaching the words of God. We have an unmovable kingdom. It began that day and has never died. Luke 1, verse 33. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Of course, this was spoken about a baby that was to be born. A baby that was to be born in Bethlehem. That his kingdom would never end. We have an unshakable kingdom. You know, we trust history so much. But sometimes history fails to tell us what reality is, such as the church. People want to know, well, where did the church go throughout all the Middle Ages and the time when the Catholic Church is not the church that Jesus built? Well, why don't we have record of the same church that you attend? Because history fails us. You see, it's not in men that the church resides, except for those that are today in paradise, and those will not change. The apostles are still there in paradise. The early Christians are still there. Everyone that has obeyed God from day one to now, they're still there. But history doesn't record them. They don't record all who look at the Bible for themselves and say, "I'm going to do it God's way." Probably not until the 19th century do we have further record of the church that Jesus built. There are others that say they can find the record in England and other places, but those things I have not read. We have an unmovable kingdom, and it's because of the seed principle. Do you remember the seed principle? When you look at the book of Genesis, and it tells you that the plants that they kept going after their kind, that they had seed after their kind, that tells you the seed principle. What I'm getting at is this, that when you plant the same seed today as they planted in the first century, you get the same product, Christians. And Christians are part of the church that Jesus built. And it will be so forever. If this group of people passes away tomorrow because of some accident or because of oppression, that someone can find the book of God in 1,000 years, read it, believe it, obey it, and become the same thing that we are now. Become the same Christians that we are now. Headed for the same place. We have an immovable kingdom. It will not move, will never shake. Hebrews 12, verse 27. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. A kingdom which cannot be moved. The souls of men also depend upon us being unmovable. Back to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 3, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 3, verses 5 and 6. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. We enjoy words, don't we? We enjoy when words mean different things. I remember a principal that was speaking to the whole assembly one day, and he was having fun with the word red. It could be pronounced read or red, and he used it in different ways. He was having fun with it. We have fun with the word fast, too, don't we? We think of Speedy Gonzales or the Roadrunner, or we think of NASCAR, or we think of the space shuttle, when we think of things that are fast. We think of the medal winner in the 100-meter dash. That person is fast. By the time I get 10 yards, he's already done with the whole race. Disgusts me sometimes. Fast. Think about your 2-year-old in a mall. How fast you can lose a child. Fast. That's not the fast that we're talking about here. We're talking the kind of fast that causes something to stick to something else. You remember that super glue commercial? That there's a man with a hard hat, and he stuck his hat up on the girder above, and he's hanging by it, trying to get across to you that this glue is going to stick, that it won't come apart on you. This is the kind of fast that we're talking about. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. We love words. Words mean something. And if we're going to be confident, we've got to be confident in something. Confident in the Word of God. Confident in an everlasting kingdom. Confident in a God that does not change and His Son that will never change. Confident, holding fast to these things. We count on things that we hold fast to. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. How do you like those words? You ever been in big winds? I know this is Missouri and you have winds. I experienced some of them when we in the spring after we moved in. It seemed like every day it was about to blow the trees down. But we know about those things in Texas, too. We've been through tornadoes, F5 tornadoes. And look at the oak trees that have been there for generations. They're out of the ground. Those roots simply did not hold those trees there because of the ferocity of the winds. They tried, and how do I know? Because those trunks were twisted up into toothpicks. They have released their integrity because of the ferocity of the wind. When we have old trees around us, we know that those roots go down deep. When they've been through winds and the trunks are kind of twisted up, we understand that they have tried their best to stand where they are. We are to stand where we are, rooted in the gospel. Rooted in the God that doesn't change, and the Christ that doesn't change, and the kingdom that does not change. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. After giving a whole chapter about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, talking about the gospel and what we stand in, talking to us about the fact of the resurrection and the hope that we have in it, Paul writes, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let us not be moved. We know that there are people that want to move us aside into their particular doctrines. There's churches that abound around us that say, "No, your allegiance is to be to this man, or your allegiance is to be to this book." Be not moved, because we have an unmovable God, an unmovable Lord, an unmovable gospel, an unmovable kingdom. The souls of men, our own as well, depend upon us being unmovable. Think about your situation now, what you are now. Are you unmovable, or do you flit around with every wind of doctrine? How is your life? Do you trust in the one God? Do you trust in the one Lord and the one gospel? If not, make a change today. It has been found worthy of your trust, worthy of your devotion. You're in a kingdom that will never end. Have you placed your trust in it? There may be some here today that need to be baptized for the remission, for the removal, for forgiveness of your sins. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, if you've repented of your sins and are willing to confess Christ before men, we can assist you with your obedience, and you can be baptized, made a child of God today, placed into an everlasting kingdom devoted to an unmovable Lord. If you have once done that, but you found yourself to be movable, time to screw the cap on, tie it again. You know about what I'm talking about. A child goes into the pantry and you forgot to put the sugar on the mason jar, the lid on tight, and they grab that jar wanting some sugar, and it's everywhere, because the cap is not screwed on tight. You probably have your own example in your mind already of things that were loose. Maybe a salt shaker on the table. Something else. It's time to screw it down tight. By faith in Jesus Christ, by trust in the Word of God, we can assist you in your obedience. If you need to ask for forgiveness of your Lord, make it so right now before you leave. If it's a public matter, you need to make it known publicly, so that you can receive the prayers of the saints, and you can remove that influence that you might have over others. If we can assist you, won't you come sit on one of these front pews as we stand, as we sing.